I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, are you mother...
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Bark Up Radio, show number 122. This might end up being shows number 122 and 123. I just don't know. We're going to have to put it on the big screen, put the pieces together, see how long it is. I'm so out of control. Bark Up Radio, heard on the Bark Up Radio Network, seen on the barkup.com. My name is Bart. What's your name? Well, another out of control show. You know, we've done a couple of these theme shows lately. We did the healthcare theme show. We did the how to answer questions from Timmy the Horror theme show. I was trying to avoid a theme show this time, so I put together just a whole bunch of little snippets and stuff. Well, nothing works because I sat down and watched that debate and I thought, damn, every time someone opened their mouth, I had something to say about what they said or what they failed to say. So I did a little piece on that. Turned out about 4 hours. So I took out all the parts that weren't clever, brought it down about 3.5. So I kept whittling, got it down to 80 minutes. But that won't fit on a CD. Plus, I got all the bits to put in there. So, yep, it looks like it might be a double show. So I shan't talk too long. I'll do a shot of Chinako, get this show started. Oh, very, very tasty. Very tasty. Gosh, I like that stuff. Can't beat some good old Chinako. Okay, let's get to the comedy. Let's get to the debate. Big, big, big show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Three-piece suits and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The
tonight, what an exciting night on the program. We're devoting the entire show to last night's Democratic debate on CNN. But John, you say, isn't this but the fourth in a series of over 10,000 of these debates? Same questions, same answers? No! You've got it all wrong. This debate was co-sponsored by YouTube. In this debate, candidates would be asked video questions voters submitted on the web. And if that just sounds like a town hall meeting, only without any human interaction, dude, you just don't get it.
History in the making.
This is a different kind of debate.
It is a groundbreaking format.
It's the most unusual debate ever.
Never before has anything like it been done.
In fact, turn it off! Look away! You're not ready! This debate will come at you in six dimensions. Candidates will answer questions posed by their future selves. The audience will breathe through gills. You've never seen anything like it.
Is that? No? All right. I wasn't sure if I had the... Okay.
Anyway, in the same way that the Segway made legs obsolete, this debate will have no trouble living up to CNN's hype.
Our first question tonight.
Welcome to my home, candidates. My name is Chris. I live in Portland, Oregon. And I have more of a request, or should I say challenge, versus a question.
My God, the wall. Run! Our Jason Jones was at the YouTube CNN historic debate. He joins us now. Jason, thank you so much for joining us. For democracy, what an exciting night for democracy. As our senior political reporter, your thoughts on the YouTube debate?
My thoughts? Well, who gives a rat's ass about my thoughts, John? I'm just a professional political correspondent. I'm not a real people. I'm not you.
Are you threatened by the populist nature of this technology?
No, no, no. Not at all, John. I think ordinary people should get to have their own special debates. Just like certain other groups of people get their own special Olympics. Only difference this time is nobody wins. But hey, that's just my opinion. Let's find out what one of you thought.
Well, hey there. I'm Billy Bob Stupidass from Kerntown, USA. And golly, last night sure was edumacation over a dumb idiot like me. Yeah!
Listen up, fellow youngsters. The older generation doesn't get our youthful energy. That's why the YouTube debate rocks so freaking hard. And you can turn off your hearing aid, old man, because this message ain't for you.
House Resolution 635. This is a mortal technique. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggested George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war in which tens of thousands of civilians were killed. We are told to look upon these deaths as an exaggeration or an acceptable loss in the war on terror. But this administration has lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, and produced phony news reports. People have been imprisoned without charges and tortured, and illegal weapons used. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation. Peace.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
All right, let's talk about last night's debate. That would be July 23rd, probably, the Monday debate on CNN. They called it the YouTube debate because total idiots were allowed to send in questions. And since they were on camera, they all had to be cute. God, how I hate cute. And CNN, well, they're not the mother of all whores because they're just like all the others. But their goal last night was not to give us information, was not to explain anything, was not to give the candidate the form. Their job was to be cute. So they picked out the cute questions from the biggest idiots in the world. And some candidates gave better answers than others, but I thought we'd jump into it and do just the questions. Now and then somebody would have a pretty good answer. Here comes the first question. What's up? I'm running out of tape. I have to hurry. Now, CNN has editing software. Why the hell didn't they edit that out? That is so dumb. See, all they want to do is be cute. It's not a news organization. It's an entertainment organization, and they're here to be cute. Oh, and also they got Anderson Cooper to host it because he's the cutest. And, oh, God, it just makes me sick. And, of course, in every debate, the anchor's got to be the biggest ass in the room. He's got to let everybody know, I'm the moderator. Everybody must listen to me. I am king. Check it. Oh, and I got a bunch of jokes for you, too. Hey, Anderson, blow it out your ass. No one cares about you or your damn jokes. Okay, back to the first question. So my question is, we have a bunch of leaders who can't seem to do their job. See, now that's not a question, but they just let this guy prattle on. And we pick people based on the issues that they say, well, the idiot transcript got it all wrong, but what he meant was based on issues that they represent. But then they get in power and they don't do anything about it anyway. You're going to spend this whole night talking about your view on issues, but the issues don't matter if, when you get in power, nothing's going to get done. We have a Congress and a president with, like, a 30% approval rating, so clearly we don't think they're doing a good job. Dude, is there a question in your future? What's going to make you any more effectual beyond all the platitudes and the stuff we're used to hearing? I mean, be honest with us. How are you going to be any different? Candidate Bart. Okay, I'll tell you how we're going to be different. When you go in the voting booth, vote for me and vote for every Democrat, or just walk in, hit Democrat, and walk out. Don't read anything. Don't think about anything. Don't even go down the list. Just walk in, look for the Democrat, or vote all Democrat, whatever it is. Look for that button, hit it, and walk out the door. I guarantee you, if you give me a veto-proof Congress, and I'll get done everything on my platform if I don't vote my ass out in 4 years, and that's a promise. Now I'm going to look at the camera, and I'm going to repeat that because I want my opponents to use this against me in 4 years. If I don't do everything I said I was going to do, with if I get a veto-proof Congress, then vote my ass out come 2012. And that's a promise. And I hope to God my opponent runs this question 1,000 times, because in 4 years, everybody's going to say, damn, he did everything on his list. That's how I answer that question to poor Democrats. And for some reason, that idiot Anderson Cooper looks at Obama and says, Senator Obama, your supporters say you're different. Your critics say you're inexperienced. You're a first-term senator. And it would be great if Obama looked at him and said, hey, asshole, is there a question there? What's wrong with people? They can't ask a question. They, you walk up to them and say, you're a first-term senator, and they stop talking. It's like, hey, Sparky, that's not a question. How am I going to answer a question if you don't ask one? All right, let's go to question two. Hello, my name is... Who gives a fuck what your name is? What's wrong with people? My name is Davis Fleetwood. I'm from Groton, Massachusetts. None of that counts. Nobody cares. He's doing this so he can show his damn friends. See, it's not about the question. It's about, oh, look how cute I can be. I'm on TV. My question is for Dennis Kucinich. After watching the first several debates, which seemed more like conversations than actual debates, granted, he's making a point, these aren't debates. These are organized hand jobs. I said it before. I'll say it again. Every time they have a debate, they need to vote somebody off. Kucinich can't win. It's impossible. Gravel can't win. It's impossible. Dodd can't win. It's impossible. We should have lopped off at least three of them by now. It pissed me off last night that every time a candidate started answering a question, we're out of time. We got to hear another idiot speak from Grab-Ass Arkansas has a question, so you can't speak anymore. Be quiet. We don't want to hear from you. What do you think this is about the candidate's views? Shut up. We got a cute guy on the screen. I made this point before. I'm going to make it again. The allotted time, take any other candidate. Oh, and Gravel was complaining and whining all night. Nobody lets me talk. What's that about? I assume all the candidates got an equal number of questions. Maybe they didn't. Maybe the smart people asked Hillary and Obama, maybe Richardson or Edwards a question. Maybe everybody understands the others don't count. They're just not real. They're just standing there to take up time. Oh, but the thing I was going to get to, if you take the total time, say Hillary spoke, that was shorter than the opening statements that Kennedy and Nixon gave in 1960. Now, see, that's a debate. I was too young to watch it at the time or whatever. I don't remember anything about it. But my idea of a debate is two men standing there with a camera and two microphones, and if you want, you can flash written questions on a wall and let them go at it. This idea about you've got 30 seconds, and then you've got 15, and you got 3, and then you got 0.1 seconds, then you got a half of a sliver of 1 second. But hey, screw all that. If one of the guys is going to be a blowhard and try to run over the other guy, he's going to look bad and he's going to lose. So screw a bunch of bells and whistles and moderators and dumbass questions from the dumbass audience. My God, why don't they have intelligent people ask the questions? Oh, another thing, I don't mind feedback from the people. I make my living doing that sort of. But they could have had people submit questions and lopped off all the crapola about here's my first name, here's my last name, I'm a college teacher in this city, in that town. No one cares. Just lop all that off, but ask the question that the guy sends in. That way you'd have some honesty. But no, this is CNN. No reason to have honesty. Back to the question. We're all clear out here that you Democrats are united. We get it. But we have a very important decision to make coming up very soon, and Americans desperate for change need to know. Now, see, he's altogether said about 60 words, and he hadn't started anything yet. He's up there playing with himself. CNN's getting wood with this. They're, oh, look how cute the man's talking. He's going on like some chatty Cathy hanging her clothes out in the backyard, screaming at the neighbor. Nobody cares. Congressman Kucinich, how would America be better off with you as president than we would be if either Hillary or Barack Obama became president? Basically, Dennis Kucinich is farther to the left than anybody. That's how he would be different. But no, that only takes a few sentences to say, so you can't say that.
But at least for once in our lifetimes, we saw the words Bush, operation, and success in the same sentence. So, this man, seriously, the country has fuck-up fatigue, which is what happens when a guy fucks up so much that when he fucks up again, people go, well, what do you expect? He's a fuck-up. fucked up. He has now convinced himself that history will be kind to him. It's just us in the present who don't get it. He's the Van Gogh of presidents, you know, not appreciated in this lifetime, but I swear to God, a couple of weeks ago he was defending his legacy and he said, they're still debating our first president. No, they're not. Who's debating whether George Washington was a good president? He's on the one. He's on Mount Rushmore. They named the capital after him. I think the jury is in on this guy. I do. His nickname is Father of the Country. That's about as Kim Jong-il as we're going to get in America, I hope. You know, Rudy Giuliani, another brilliant assessor of people and presidents, he actually brags on the campaign trail that on 9/11, as the towers are going down, he turned to his super corrupt chief of police and said, thank God George Bush is president. That alone should disqualify a person from any higher office. Oh my God. Yeah, right, Rudy. Whenever I'm looking down the barrel of Muslim fundamentalists with nuclear ambitions, I want a guy who's not smarter than a fifth grader to be heading up our team. I kid George Bush with love. I hope that comes through. Because when it comes to standing on rubble and making speeches in front of trees and hugging black kids, he's the best. He is. And praying. America, I swear to God, what a country. The way we have a disaster, whenever there's a disaster, Bush shows up and says, I'm going to pray. And people go, well, he's on it. We got this covered because he's praying, which is nearly as good as hoping it were so. And that's why I'm telling you, Rudy Giuliani is probably going to be the next president of the United States. I'm sorry. Because it's all about image. He's got the big anti-terrorist image, you know? And I'm telling you, on January 20th, 2009, you may very well be welcoming to the White House Rudy Giuliani and his lovely wife, whoever that may be at the time. We don't know that now. I love it. He's had three wives, right? McCain, two wives. Fred Thompson, two wives. Newt Gingrich, three wives. The only monogamous Republican, Mitt Romney, the Mormon. And you know this too, that Rudy's first wife was his cousin. I'm not making that up. I think that is a very cheap way to go after the Southern vote. That's insulting to the South.
Next question is for Senator Clinton. Hi, my name's Bob Porter. I'm from Irvine, California. Nobody cares. I have a question for Hillary. Ms. Clinton, how would you define the word liberal, and would you use this word to describe yourself? Thank you. I think I would answer by saying it's hard to wear the liberal label because it's become such pejorative because the pussies in the Democratic Party have allowed the other guys to say, oh, he's one of those liberals, and they just say, oh, please don't hurt me. And so, yeah, after 28 years of that, because Reagan started it, After 28 years of, oh, no, he's a liberal. And everyone in the room laughs. So, yeah, after 28 years of that, it's kind of hard to be that. Thanks, Democrats. Way to go. Way to stand up to the bullies. Please don't hurt me. Our next question is for Senator Biden. Hello, this question is for all the candidates. Partisanship played a major role in nothing. Partisanship, ready? Partisanship played a major role in why nothing can be done in Washington today. All of you say you'll be able to work with Republicans. Well, here's the test. If you had to pick any Republican or Congress or governor to be your running mate, who would it be? Stupid question. If you had to pick a dog, who would you... I'd want to run with Lassie. What a dumbass question. What is wrong with CNN? How stupid can CNN be? You know what? I don't know. We had 20 questions or something last night, and this is one that got through. If you could pick a mouse to be your running mate, which one? Oh, I'd go with Mickey. Yeah, that's just how I roll. Me and Mickey. What a dumbass question. Go right to hell, stupid ass CNN. Next question for Senator Edwards. Hello, America. Hello, presidential candidates. Wasting my time. I'm a busy man. I got shit to do. The idea. Oh, welcome. Oh, and we're so pleased to be here. No, you're not. Get to the damn talking. Oh, I remember this guy. Now he's the black guy. Hello, America. Hello, presidential candidates. This is Will from Boston, Massachusetts. He says, oh, I thought he meant Boston, Texas. God, I hate when they do. I heard someone the other day say, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Oh, really? I thought it might be Colorado Springs, Florida. What's wrong with people? Now, sure, there's times you got to say that. You got to say Washington State so they don't think you're talking about D.C., but Colorado Springs, I kind of think it's in Colorado, and it ain't going to fucking move. And I hope, you know, they put this question on. It's a question in the back of everybody's heads. You know, in some people, it's further back than others, collecting cobwebs. Hey, dude, get to the point. But is African Americans ever going to get reparations for slavery? I know you are all going to run around this question, dipping and dodging, so let's see how far you all can get. Well, that's stupid. A, I'm not even going to bother with the sentence structure. B, let's see how far you all can get. I don't know. It's like taunting. If you're in a courtroom, they object. Hey, tell the asshole, knock it off. We don't need snide comments. Ask your damn question. Edwards, I'm not for reparations. Then they ask Obama, since he's black, he says, I think the reparations we need right here in South Carolina is investment, for example, in our schools. And the big applause line, yay, money for the kids, yay. But he didn't answer the question. God, I hate that. They ought to have a sign above the candidate's head. I mean, like a stop sign. And it's red when they ask him the question. And if he ever answers the question, it turns green. And somehow, you know, if he wants to just prattle on, and then when he's done prattling, you say, sorry, the light's still red. You can answer the question. And if they want to prattle on again, then fine. Then that time comes off their deal at the end. At the end, they don't get any more questions. They have to stand there like a dumbass for the last hour because they yak, yak, yak all through the first part.
I think most people who are really focused on this war say we either stay in, it's like the screen door, in or out, buddy. Are we in the house or out of the house? Stop standing in the screen door with the door half open. Get in that country and win that battle or get the heck out.
And
because sitting there and being casualties in a war you can't win makes no sense.
But there are less and less people now saying stay in there.
Okay, let's put it to our Matthews meter, our usual tiebreaker around here, 12 of our regular panelists. Will Republicans be able to prevent Democrats from making the war the number one issue in this campaign? No way, no how, apparently. 12 of us, 12 to zip. Our meter votes no. Republicans cannot keep the war from being number one issue next year. Kat, do you agree?
Karl Rove is absolutely wrong when he goes out there and he says, this is not going to be the number one issue.
Is this Bush's brain?
Because even if Petraeus is starting to make inroads, which all the indications are he is starting to make inroads, I mean, the tragedy of all this may now be the right strategy in Iraq. It's just politically far too late.
George Bush is the president because America thought he'd be tougher in the age of terror. It's about national security. It's about Iraq. Republicans have to sort of sell the country on, I know the previous guys largely got it wrong in the majority view of the country. I can manage the withdrawal better, and I can approach this age of terror and this war with more competence and less ideology.
Okay, well, the bottom line, you start, John, your end. Will the Republican candidate for president, when he's chosen, have to distance himself from President Bush?
Absolutely.
But how does he do that now in the primaries? How does that candidate
cater? In the end game, when he faces the
absolutely
public, Bush ain't going
to
be there.
To win moderates and independents,
okay.
Absolutely.
Bush is out there by 9:30, the first night of the convention.
Right? Yeah. Absolutely has the distance.
He has no other choice.
Hey, guys.
What's up, dude?
Hey, T, what's going on?
Not much. Hey, you dropped your mini Bible at the gym the other day.
Thanks, man. It's not a Bible.
Like a AA thing, right? It's all good, man. We all gotta have something to pray to. We all need a Bible.
Let me fill you in a little bit, something with the Bible. The Bible is to the Catholic Church like the Godfather is to the Mafia, you know? Yeah, Catholic Church is the most corrupt organization on the face of the planet. I did 12 years in that penal system, you know? All these gangsters who walk around thinking that they run the world in any given moment in time, like Gotti, Gambino, Castellano, whoever. They all learn the same lesson, which is that at any given moment in time, the biggest gangster on this planet is always the Pope.
Whatever, man.
I started school at St. Agatha's Catholic Church when I was a little before I was 6 years old, and grew up in a very Catholic home where we were taught that priests were the closest thing to God that you were ever going to get before you pass on to your next life. So when Father Rucker came, and I mean, all the pictures of God were of a white man with white hair that, you know, was tall, and there was Father Rucker, and he was God to us. So when he showed up in the yard at St. Agatha's, all the little girls would run over to him and want his attention, you know. And so when he started touching us, was touching me specifically.
What age is six?
Six, absolutely.
How long did it go on?
Until I was in the seventh grade, from first grade to seventh grade.
Did you tell your parents?
I didn't tell my mother until I was in the seventh grade, and that was only because it had gotten to the point where I was so conflicted between feeling like the hand of God was touching me and I'm feeling like the devil has got some hold on me.
I apologize to anyone who's been offended, who has been abused in the Catholic Church by priests, by deacons, religious men and women, or lay people in the church. It should not have happened and should not ever happen again.
So finally, that idiot Cooper, since he couldn't get an answer from anybody, he said, is anyone on the stage for reparations? And Kucinich said, I am. And he went into this big thing about, oh, the Bible says repairs of the breach and yuck, yuck, yuck. But, you know, that's never going to happen. Something should be done. You know, it doesn't help blacks any to build better schools, and you can't really just build better schools in the black parts of town. You know, you got a problem here, but something really must be done because, you know, when you see someone living in a couple of million-dollar house, unless they're a basketball player or an actor or something like that, they probably inherited the money. We'll say. I mean, I know there's dot-com millionaires and that, but the idea about old money, you know, the old money, the country club kind of money, that was handed down over generations, and since the blacks weren't allowed to own property for the first 300 or 400 years, yeah, they don't have any wealth to pass down to anybody, and that needs to be addressed. I mean, I know there's poor white people too, but they did get screwed, and they are, you know, whitey is way ahead in the race for whatever economic prosperity, and so something needs to be done. That's one of the few times I don't know what the answer is, but I know something must be done. The idea of saying, nobody alive now was ever a slave. Well, that doesn't help anything. It didn't even get to the point. The point is, white people could have inherited mass wealth, and the black people could not have. So that needs to be fixed. Next question for Senator Dodd. Oh, I love, he's a lightning bolt, isn't he? If New Orleans had been a white city, would the response have been the same? And he goes into the long yak, 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 but everybody knows it was. The idea that it took 5 days to get water down there, that's just real stupid. Oh, matter of fact, that was we saw the new Die Hard movie. If you like Bruce Willis, well, I don't like Bruce Willis, but yeah, some of his movies are good. And the Die Hard movies were good. This is just like the others. The others probably had a little more brain in them. You know, like in the first Die Hard movie, the guy was evil, and the play between the good and evil, I think, was pretty good there. But this one is all, the craziest, you know, crashes and car wrecks and bombs going off. So if you're looking for a summer popcorn movie, I think they call that, you'll love it. But they asked, there was a line in the movie. Somebody said, I ain't worried about the federal government. And Bruce Willis says, what, are you kidding me? You know how powerful they are? And he said, hell, it took them 5 days to get water to the Superdome. Bruce Willis looks at him like, yeah, you got a point there. Another thing, we got to talk about these trailers. I'm real pissed off about these trailers that are poison, you know, these toxic trailers. What is wrong with the whore media? The minute that story hit, they should have given us the name of the company that made the toxic trailers. And how many did they sell us? 30,000 maybe? They sold us 30,000 toxic trailers and they got paid and they still have that damn money and they're still hiding in obscurity. What the fuck is wrong with the media? Why isn't that immediately all over all the headlines in the whole country? And if I remember right, when it happened, there was some guy in Mississippi or nearby Alabama somewhere that had a shitload of trailers. He said, I can have these trailer homes, whatever they're called, mobile homes. I can have them there tomorrow. And they said, no, we got some coming from Alaska. They found a Republican in Alaska that made trailers. And I don't know if it's the same thing, but if, you know, the trailers, motor homes or whatever, I don't know exactly the terms there because that's not my job. It's the job of the media to do this, the news whores. But whoever sold these toxic, why is that not a crime? You're selling people a place to live and they're, and it's toxic. It's like someone said 40 times higher than what's allowed. And they're allowed. That's not a crime. If you hand someone a joint, that's a crime. But if you build housing for people who are homeless and the house is poisoning them and their kids, that's not a crime. What the fuck's wrong with the world, the whole country? It's just crazy. And why don't we know who the guy is? Why doesn't someone dig into that? Why isn't that the headline? Bob Jones, who owns Jones Trailer Company in, you know, Alaska, wherever the hell it was, he sold these poison trailers to the government. And who bought the trailers? Get him on the damn air. Get him on the live camera and say, dude, why did you buy 30,000 toxic trailers? Did you look at one? Did you have anybody test it? Or we could make everyone who's involved in the sale, make them move into those trailers. And when they say, I refuse to do it, well, you just pled guilty to a crime, piece of shit. You're going to jail. That's how it ought to work. Why doesn't somebody find out? Why don't they do that? God, it pisses me off. And then Cooper always, like everybody, he jumps in to save Bush. Governor Richardson, this is Anderson Cooper talking. Governor Richardson, the Democrats talk a lot about the failure of the president, but the governor was a Democrat and the mayor was a Democrat. And Richardson, I got onto him a show or two back about answering questions so bad, he had a great answer. He said, yeah, there was some politics. The other states that had similar devastation got better treatment, like Mississippi, implying it would have been better for you to come out and say it, but yeah, maybe because they had a Democratic governor and a Democratic mayor, maybe that's why Bush sat on his ass for 5 days and did nothing. And, you know, they keep allowing them to get away with that. When the subject, now and then, the subject will just come up and they'll say, well, you know how hard it is to move tons of equipment, hundreds of miles? Well, no, you couldn't put a trailer full of Walmart bottled water. You couldn't fill up a trailer in 5 days and drive it from Dallas to New Orleans. You couldn't do that? Liar. But they never point that out. Anytime someone says, oh, you know how big a city it is? You know how torn up the roads were? Well, what's his name? The piano player. He drove there in 1 day. He stood there on CNN and said, I'm here. I just drove right in. Where the hell are the National Guard? Where's the troops? Where's anybody? You just get on the road and you drive. I'm here. I'm standing here. I must have got here. But no, no, everybody lets him off the hook. Nobody wants to hold Bush responsible.
So much happened while we were gone. Iraq War Resolutions Attorney General firing case testifying. I thought for sure, that we'd be coming back from break to a Scooter Libby goes to jail perp walk thing. He'd be going to jail. We would send a correspondent to the courthouse, if you will. Have a few amusing, what are you in for, scooter jokes, you know? Nice, clever, over-the-shoulder, Pokemon, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's not great, but the graphic was cute. It was Libby being sodomized by Pikachu. So imagine my surprise. I come back to work, I find out the President of the United States commuted Scooter Libby's sentence. How little does the President care what you think about that?
The Scooter Libby decision was I thought a fair and balanced decision.
What? He's literally just using Fox News' slogan now. just basically just a fair and balanced. I commute, you decide.
You know, here's the thing about the phrase fair and balanced. The president means it just as much as Fox does. But obviously the top story while we were gone had to be the war in Iraq. As you know, we are now entering our fifth year of making very good progress in Iraq. Obviously the president defining progress now as moving forward through time. But this spring, we are on a continuum. This spring, Congress finally asked the president for some specifics about our progress and its level of goodness. They required him to submit regular reports, and our first report card is in.
Of the 18 benchmarks Congress asked us to measure, we can report that satisfactory progress is being made in 8 areas.
Yes! There you have it, 8 out of 18, otherwise known as a gentleman's F. By the way, that's the report card the Bush administration themselves submitted. Why didn't they cherry pick the results? They did. Now, the president is not unaware that the report may be used by people.
Those who believe that the battle in Iraq is lost will likely point to the unsatisfactory performance on some of the political benchmarks.
Or they'll point to the economic benchmarks. Or they'll point to the crazy violence. Or they'll probably point at me. Point to decisions I made, turned out to be wrong. My point is, it's impolite to point. Not that the president is totally deaf to concerns about the war.
There's war fatigue in America. It's affecting our psychology.
Yes, our psychology. Not to mention our cardiology, our gastroenterology, our rhinodermatology. That's what we call nose skin. The real fun of the Iraq progress report was the Cirque du Soleil-like contortions needed to spin it positive.
They have made not inconsequential movement forward.
Wait, not inconsequential. So that's not unbad. Tell me not less.
It is also not the case that they've done nothing.
Oh my God, a double, triple negative. She nailed it. And here come the scores. Oh, it's a 9, a 9, and a 10. Yes. And they said it couldn't not never be done. What about the Iraqi government's plan to take a vacation at this critical juncture in surge evaluation?
The Iraqi government, Iraqi parliament taking the month of August off?
Probably, yeah. Just like
taking an entire month of August off before the September deadline.
It looks like they may, yeah. Just like the U.S. Congress is.
Have you tried to talk them out of that?
It's 130 degrees in Baghdad in August.
130 degrees in Baghdad in August. You do realize we're not asking them to play touch football, right? We're asking them to sit inside and get done.
You still think that jet fuel brought down the World Trade Center? Does anybody else see a problem here? If the government has nothing to hide, why are they so afraid to answer a few questions? This story does not add up.
All right, next question. Hello, my name is Jordan Williams, and I'm a student at KU from Coffeyville, Kansas. Who gives a flying fig? Nobody cares. This question is for Obama and Clinton. Whenever I read an editorial about one of you, the author never fails to mention the issue of race or gender, respectively. Either one is not authentically black enough, or the other is not satisfactorily feminine. How will you address these critics and their charges if both of you should end up the Democratic ticket in 08? Obama had a great line. He said, you know, when I'm trying to catch a cab in Manhattan, I'm plenty black. And great line, but I got a feeling he's used it 100 times. So, yeah, anytime someone asks him if he's black enough, all he's got to say is, when I try to catch a cab, I am. Ha-ha. And then we're done with the question. Next question. And then he closed out by getting really stupid. He said, race permeates our society. It is still a critical problem. Well, race is not the problem. It's the reaction to the race. Don't you know that, Obama? But I do believe in the core decency of the American people. Boy, is he crazy. Then they asked Senator Clinton, You have a minute as well, since this question is to you, and Hillary answers, well, I couldn't run as anything other than a woman. Next up, a question from two lesbians. Hi, I'm Mary, and my name's Jen, and we're from Brooklyn. If you were elected president, would you allow us to be married to each other? And the answer is no to the actual word marriage. I know it would be nice if we could, but it's not going to happen, not in our lifetime. You know, things are changing. When I was a kid, a black guy and a white girl, they couldn't really walk around very freely. I grew up in St. Louis, so maybe it's different in your town. I'll bet today it's not working real good in Mississippi and Alabama, but it is changing because they used to just hang blacks, you know, 30, 40 years ago. But yeah, the whole thing on gay marriage, why can't we just pass a law that says they're equal in every conceivable way except for the M word? Why can't we go there? And I know they deserve the M word, but gee, would you rather have 8 more years of Bush and still not have the M word? Or would you rather have everything but the M word? You know, the saddest one is when you're in the hospital dying and your lover can't come see you. You're the person you're closest to, your loved one, can't come see you because he's not technically a relative. Well, that's bullshit. Why don't they just make it a law that if you, you know, in Oklahoma, I used to do mortgage loans, so I know this. In Oklahoma, they have the common law thing. You get drunk at a nightclub and take a girl home and call her your wife. She's your legal wife, assuming you don't already have one. But that's in Oklahoma, the standard is if you call her your wife, if you live together, and see, that's, it's phrased that way, so you don't know if that means 24 hours or 5 years. You know, there's no limit on it. But when I made mortgage loans, we asked the guy, are you married? You had to get into all that because you had to have her signature. And he said, well, we're not really married. Well, if she's living there, yeah, you are, because this is Oklahoma and that's the law. So it ought to be able to, if you can be a common law wife and husband in Oklahoma, they ought to just be able to expand that rule to where if one girl wants to say, this is my spouse, then they just are, and that's all there is to it. And they can do a ceremony if they want, and they file whatever it is at the courthouse and be done with it. But and you understand what I'm saying. I'm with you on this. But do we want to risk having, you know, Republicans for eternity because we insist on the M word? I think that's self-defeating. Matter of fact, there are people that will tell you gay marriage cost Kerry the election. Kerry did 1,000 things wrong, but this was out of his control. I think Massachusetts was the one that went pro-gay marriage, and they said, oh, he's in that place where the linebackers have to kiss each other, and everybody, oh, geez, let's vote for Bush. Oh, and closing out on the gay marriage, Richardson said something pretty smart. He said, if we're going to have military men and women die for their country, we shouldn't give them a lecture on their sexual orientation, which, you know, pretty good point. If you can die when you're 18 in Iraq, you ought to be able to buy liquor when you're 18 in America. You ought to be able to do everything. Christ, if you can throw your stupid ass in George Bush's hands, yeah, you're not competent. Anyone, you think someone today that volunteers for the military, we got to question your sanity. I mean, how can you want to go to Iraq and fight 6 or whatever 18-month terms? What are you, crazy? You're just crazy. But if you join today, yeah, you're just crazy. You ought to lose your right to own a gun when you come back. If you sign up for Bush's quagmire. Next question. I'm Reverend Reggie Longcrier. He's long crying. I'm the pastor of I Don't Care Church, located in who gives a fuck, North Carolina. Senator Edwards said his opposition to gay marriage is influenced by his Southern Baptist background. That's a dumb thing to say. See, now why didn't you bring that up, Edwards? Most Americans agree it was wrong and unconstitutional to use religion to justify slavery, segregation, and denying women the right to vote. So why, this is this man's question, so why is it still acceptable to use religion to deny gay Americans their full and equal rights? Well, that is probably, so far, that's the by far dumbest question of the night. Why is it still acceptable to deny gay rights? I don't know what he's asking. It sounds to me like he's asking, why is the grass still green? Well, I don't have an answer for that. But the grass is green. It was green 100 years ago. It's going to be green 100 years from now. So asking why it's green is just damn stupid. And then getting back to the bigger point, it's not right. But do we want to sacrifice all the elections from now on? Is that the hill we're prepared to die on? You know, there's a bunch of hills you can die on. Is that the one we want to die on? I'd die on the Constitution before I die to let someone else have their full and equal rights, which I have already given them, but they want the M word too. I don't want to die for your M word. I'm sorry if that makes me bad, then I'm just bad. But if we lose everything over that one issue, then we got nothing. Don't we agree that whatever, 95% of a loaf is better than no loaf at all? I'm sorry about your 5% of the loaf, but we got the 95 to consider. And Edward said something really stupid. He said, I think Reverend Longcar asked a very important question. No, that was an extra, extra stupidest question of the night. And then Cooper drags Obama into this. He says, Senator Obama, the laws banning interracial marriage in America were ruled unconstitutional in 1967. What's the difference between a ban on interracial marriage and a ban on gay marriage? And without getting into Obama's answer, the answer is one is acceptable to the majority of Americans and one is not. And now if you're asking, should it be acceptable? Well, obviously. But we're back to the reality of it. Do we want to die for that? And we're giving them all the rights in the world. They just want the M-word. You know, the Republicans are dying to get, you know, whatever, two men in tuxedos and top hats kissing, and they say, this is what the Democrats bring to the world. Vote for Democrats, you'll be forced to kiss a man. You'll have to marry a man if you vote for a Democrat. And the idiots that vote in this country are so stupid. They're going to look at that commercial thing. No, I love my wife. I don't want to leave her and kiss that man. I better vote for the Republicans. They're going to save me. That's how stupid people are. Jesus, we live in a stupid country. When it got to Hillary, she said she put in UN troops. And I said, what about U.S. troops? She said, what did I say? Did I use the word American troops or did I use the word UN troops? Hillary closed by saying American ground troops, I don't think belong in Darfur at this time. I think we need to focus on the UN peacekeeping troops and the African Union troops. We've got to figure out what we're doing in Iraq, where our troops are stretched thin, and in Afghanistan, where we're losing the fight to Al-Qaeda, and Bin Laden, big applause line. What she did last night, what I saw of her, was she would answer the question, but she would also close with a big yah-yah. You know, when they asked her about women's rights, when they asked her who would be better for women, you or Edwards, she gave her answer, and as she closed out, she said, and isn't it nice that we're actually talking about what would be better for women? That's not something you ordinarily hear. And she got a big roar out of that. So I'm just saying it's a smart campaign tactic, A, answer the question, but then close out with, and we got to do something about this crazy man in the White House. Because everybody goes, yay! And it's always nice to have everybody scream yay when you get done with your debate answer.
How does he make that call with ace 9?
I say split foot.
Strong like ball.
I say split foot.
You know your purpose for me.
What?
You have a purpose for me today.
Why could it be a split?
Come on, Father. Be with you.
There is no chance in the world I would have called with ace 9.
Here comes the flop. Father. It is 2-6-4 yes, so rainbow.
Far. No help for Lee.
Here comes the
And the turn card is the King of Diamonds.
Come on, Lord, Lord, you have a purpose for me today.
Lee Watkinson
have
needs
a purpose
a seven
for me
to
today.
Win.
I will glorify your name, Lord. I will glorify your name. With the money I make, I will glorify your name. Let's make it happen today. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, come on, let me win this one. Father, be there, Father.
Here's the river.
Yes! Yes!
The Jack of Spades, Jerry Yang, has eliminated Lee Watkinson.
Next question about Iraq. Mitch from Philadelphia. My question is for all candidates, how do we pull out now? And the follow-up, are we watching the same blank in war? I certainly wasn't a big fan of the invasion liberation. It sickens me to hear about the soldiers wounded and getting killed daily, not to mention innocent Iraqis, but how do we pull out now? The government's shaky, bombs daily. Don't you think we pulled out now that would open up for Iran and Syria, God knows who, Russia? How do we pull out now? Isn't it our responsibility to get these people up on their feet? I mean, do you leave a newborn baby to take care of itself? How do we pull out now? So Cooper looks to Obama, he says, so how do we pull out now? Obama, look, I oppose this war from the start. No, that's wrong. That's not how you answer the question, how do we pull out now? That just bothers me. I'm sorry, it bothers me. I'm going to get to the question, Anderson. Now, you should never have to say that sentence in a debate. As time goes by, I'll be answering your question. No, how about you answer it now? I'm a busy man. I got shit to do. How about you answer me? After a whole lot of words, I'd guess 150, he says, so we have to begin a phased withdrawal. He could have opened with that. What do you think, Senator Obama? We need to begin a phased withdrawal. Now, wouldn't you like that in a candidate or in a president or just from any damn body? Wouldn't it be nice to ask a question and get an answer? That would be cool. They asked Senator Biden. He said, we should start now. Let's start today. And he said something else. Biden's a little crazy. About half the time he answered the question, he said, hey, let's be honest. Basically calling everybody else on the stage a liar, and everybody else on the stage was right not to say, hey, who are you calling liar, Joe? Another question in Iraq. Thank you for taking my question. Go to hell. The point is not, let's see how much time we can waste between questions. And maybe I'm the only guy that thinks that way. And also, I hate it, don't care who it is, but I hate it when they say, that's a very good question. I'd like to thank you for bringing it up. That means I have no fucking idea in the world what I'm going to say, so I'm going to yak until something pops into my head. That's Clinton, her answer on how do we get the troops out. Oh, here we go. Another score. She says, the fact I asked the Pentagon a simple question, have you prepared for withdrawing our troops? In response, I got a letter accusing me of being unpatriotic, that I shouldn't be asking questions. Well, one of the problems is that there are a lot of questions that we're asking, but we're not getting answers from the Bush administration. And everybody goes, yay! Hillary closes out with, it's time for the Republicans to join us standing up to the president, bring our troops home! Yay! Everybody cheers. Then they ask Kucinich a question, and he said something that I thought I wasn't going to like, but I think I do, with a little modification on it. Kucinich says, yes, politics is a problem. The Democrats have failed the American people. When we took over in January, the voters expected us, they didn't expect us to give them a Democratic version of the war, which I don't understand how that works. They expected us to act quickly to end the war, and here's how we can do it. It doesn't take legislation. That's a phony excuse to say you don't have the votes. We appropriated $97 billion a month ago. We should tell President Bush no more funds for the war. Use that money to bring the troops home. Use it to bring the troops home. Big applause. I like that approach, but here's what you're going to have to give yourself some room. They're going to accuse you of cutting off the money to the troops. So when he asks for 97, you say, all right, I'm going to give you 97 twice. And that's it. Not another dime for the rest of your term. So how do you choose to spend that money, Mr. Bush? Are you going to buy more bullets and more Halliburton with that, or are you going to use that money to bring them home? Because now that we've given you double the money you've asked for, if those troops end up without whatever it is they need, it was because you misappropriated the money. You spent the money in the wrong place. So you can't say we cut you off. We just gave you double the money. So then Cooper goes to Richardson. Richardson says, I think we should bring all troops home by the end of this year in 6 months with no residual forces, which seems like a crazy position because to abandon it altogether, I just don't know. You know, you can't set fire to something and then say, my bad, and walk away. That's what we've done. Bush has lit the match. The fuse is burning, and I don't see that we... The number one thing has to be stopping the daily deaths and the daily arms and legs being blown off. That's why I think my idea of circling Baghdad is a great idea. I haven't heard anyone say, well, yeah, one or two people wrote in and said, are you crazy? Which I'm not sure is a debate. But nobody could approach us without, I mean, they would approach at their own peril. Nobody could approach us without being seen. We're not driving up and down the streets of Baghdad getting blown up. It can't take 160,000 troops. That's what we got over there now. We got 160,000 troops and about 100-something thousand contractors. And have you ever thought that our troops are there over there to protect the contractors? You ever thought about that? The contractors are there to help Bush steal oil, and the troops are there as muscle to protect the contractors. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Moving on. Next question is for Senator Gravel. You said something along the lines of the entire deaths of Vietnam died in vain. How do you expect to win a country where probably a pretty large chunk of the people voting disagree with that statement and very well might be offended by it? I'd like to know if you plan to defend that statement or flip-flop. Well, now that's a tricky question, whether they died in vain. The phrase died in vain just comes with a whole lot of baggage to it. And so what that does, it throws logic out the window, and now you're answering a life and death question without logic. Wrong way to do it. I mean, obviously. Oh, and Gravel answered it by saying, you know, right now you can go to a Baskin Robbins in Saigon City. What exactly, you know, and that's what happens if we lost. So the 55,000 men that died, why did they die? I mean, yes, it's noble to die for your country, but if you die for no reason, if you die senselessly, then yeah, you've died in vain. So the answer is yes and no. The answer is yes, they died in vain, but yeah, if you say that, the crazies, the irrational people, he just called my My son, a coward and a dog. No, he didn't do that. He said that he was misused by his commanders. But no one's going to hear it that way. So that is a tricky question. When you can't answer honestly because the other side will set themselves on fire and you lose the election, that's trouble. Think Bart's Law number one, don't ever tell the truth in a political campaign. Don't you ever do it. Just ask President Mondale how the truth thing works. Maybe he's got an in for Obama, but then Cooper says, Senator Obama, are the soldiers dying in vain? And Obama's there and says, hey, what are you coming after me for? He asked Edwards the same question. Edwards turned it around, smart move. He said, Senator Obama spoke a minute ago about the White House agreeing that the Iraqi parliament, could take a month-long vacation because it's too hot while our men and women are putting their lives on the line every day. Here's my question. While the Iraqi parliament is on vacation, is George Bush going to be on vacation in Crawford, Texas? What we need to do is turn up the heat on Bush, hold him responsible, and make this president change course. And the only way he will change course, it is the only way he will change course. He will never change course unless he is made to do it. Big applause line. Next question says, I was wondering if the candidates feel women should register for the draft when they turn 18. I haven't been 18 in a long time. Do men still have to do that, I guess? Well, yeah, I guess if a boy has to register when he turns 18, I guess a girl has to, too. I mean, they did fight for equality. Cooper asked Hillary, Senator Clinton, do you think women should register for elective service? She said, I do. I don't support a draft. Excellent answer. I mean, A, she answered it, and B, she said, little qualifier here. I ain't drafting nobody, but yeah, you should sign up. Here we go again. He asked Obama, should women register for selective service? Obama, you know, a while back, we had a celebration at the Capitol for the Tuskegee Airmen, and it was extraordinarily powerful because it reminded us there was a time when African Americans weren't allowed to serve in combat, and yet when they did, not only did they performed very well. So I think that's a yes from Senator Obama. Check this out. I did not know this. When I asked Gravel if the women should sign up, he said, well, of course, I want to take credit and admit that I'm the guy that filibustered for 5 months all by myself in the Senate to end the draft of the United States of America. You wouldn't believe the applause he got for that, but I don't understand. How is it possible to filibuster for 5 months all by yourself? You know, you hear these filibuster stories about the if you stop talking, the filibuster's over. So that's why if you got 10 people with you, you know, that eight can go on break while one guy's talking and one guy's getting ready to talk. But how do you stand there by yourself for 5 months and not use it? It's like The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis. You know, all these months or years, he never realized that he'd never used the bathroom and he had never gotten hungry. As the days or weeks, I don't know how long the movie, but the movie was over time, and he found out at the end of the movie that he was dead. But the whole movie, he didn't realize that he wasn't eating, he wasn't drinking, he wasn't defecating, he wasn't urinating. And he went through weeks or months like that. So it looks like Bruce Willis and Senator Gravel have something in common.
But George Bush, God bless him, looked and... See, that's the problem with religious people like George Bush. They think they have powers that the rest of us don't have. That's why George Bush never thought he needed to learn or read about Iraq, because he prayed. He prayed to Santa Jesus. And... I saw a couple of months ago, the president was on 60 Minutes, and he said that he was reading a book. I was very impressed. And it was the book about the Algerian Civil War. And yes, Algeria had a Muslim insurgency in the 1950s against a Western power, France. What a good book to read maybe before. You invaded Iraq. But okay, I'll take what I can get. He's reading a book. But of course, President Numbnuts takes away from the book the exact wrong message. Because if George Bush is about anything with Iraq, it's about the idea that if we don't beat them there, they're going to follow us home. Yeah, because that's exactly what happened with the French in Algeria. They pulled out of Algeria and they got followed home. That's why the Eiffel Tower today is a 7-Eleven. And the Cannes Film Festival is run by Ayatollahs. They'll follow us home. What are they, Lassie? Can I keep him, Mom? He followed me home. No, Billy, he's a terrorist. Of course you can. This whole war has been run on slogans. You know, George Bush, when you pull his string, says like 5 things. And they all have to be under 10 words, or else people, you know. If we don't beat them there, they'll follow us home. The world is better off without Saddam. They hate us for our freedom. We're fighting them over there, so we don't have to fight them here. And my favorite, we used to think oceans could protect us. No, we didn't. You did. You thought that.
He's got rich friends waiting at home. They know what they want. They know who they own. Why pay a tithe when you can pay for the throne? Cause ruling the world's a numbers game. Just ask the meek and the sick and the lame. Cause they can't get past the guards down on Country Club Lane. He says he's got compassion as much as money can buy. Just don't hold your breath while you're waiting for the pigs to fly by. Love and praise and innocence are like the presidency. The more you pay to get them, the less that they need.
Next question. My name is John McAlpin. We don't care. I'm a proud serving member of the United States military. I'm overseas. Questions to Hillary. The Arab states, Muslim nations, believe it's women as being second-class citizens. If you're president, how do you think you'll be taken seriously? Great answer coming. Thank you, John. Thank you for your service to our country. That's obligatory. When I was First Lady, I was privileged to represent America in 82 countries. I met with many officials in Arabic and Muslim countries. I met with kings and presidents and prime ministers and sheikhs and tribal leaders. And certainly in the last years during my time in the Senate, I've had many high-level meetings with presidents and prime ministers. I believe there isn't much doubt in anyone's mind that I can be taken seriously. Big applause. Another question. In 1982, Sadat traveled to Israel, the trip that resulted in peace agreement that has lasted ever since. In the spirit of that bold leadership, would you be willing to meet separately? Excellent question. I mean, dumb question, but excellent slice of answers here. In the spirit of that bold leadership, would you be willing to meet separately without precondition during the first year of your administration with the leaders of Iran, Syria, Venezuela, Cuba, and North Korea in order to bridge the gap that divides our countries? I should point out that Stephen's in the crowd tonight. Whoop-de-doo. Way to go, Cooper. They asked Obama first. His first two words were, I would. Now, figures. First time he's answered a legitimate question in short, boom, here's your answer, and he's wrong. And the reason is that this notion that someone not talking to countries is punishment to them is ridiculous. Ronald Reagan talked to the Russians while he was calling them evil empire. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Next, they asked Hillary the same question. She said, I will not promise to meet with the leaders of those countries during my first year. I will promise a very vigorous diplomatic effort because the thing is not that you promise a meeting at that high level before you know what the intentions are. I don't want to be used for propaganda purposes. I don't want to make a situation even worse. Yeah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. And she's right. And the reason is, if you agree up front that you're going to talk to whatever, I'm a hand job over in Iran. All right, so they agree, let's say, to meet in Paris or whatever. And they get to Paris, and they're in the room 5 minutes, and he says, you're a stupid whore. and he storms out the room in big headlines. I'm a hen job, refuses to put up with Hillary's guff. I mean, you know, any kind of headline could come out of there. So if you don't agree to something up front, yeah, you can be used real bad, real seriously. For instance, Bush would be an idiot to meet with me with a camera in the room because it would turn out badly for him. So, yeah, he'd be crazy to meet me without getting a full briefing up front. What do I want to talk about? What am I going to say? You know? So, yeah, she answered the question right. Obama got it wrong, but he's a new guy and he's learning. And as time goes by, he'll pick it up.
Welcome back. Caddy, tell me something I don't know.
Chris, there's been a really interesting change in Britain from Tony Blair to the new Prime Minister, Gordon Brown. We've had these attempted terrorist attacks, but the words Muslim, the words war on terror, they've gone from British official language. They're not deemed to be useful. War on terror has been seen quite a lot around the world recently as an attack on Muslims generally. It's not a good way to win hearts and minds of moderates.
I think Hillary Clinton's, her sister Soulja moment is going to be telling the left that they have to sort of move beyond their hatred over Iraq for Bush, and think about how they're going to engage the war on terror in a very serious and tough way.
Chris, there has been an explosion of crime in some big cities.
You're right, Baltimore and Philly.
Absolutely. If it continues to happen, look for that to give the Republicans an issue. They can run on law and order in addition to terrorism.
Legitimate issue, yeah.
They can only make that a legitimate issue if the Democrats once again refuse to list the facts. And the facts are when Clinton got in there, he put an extra 100,000 cops on the streets, and he banned assault weapons. And when Bush got in there, he said, hey, screw that. We need more guns and fewer cops. And only the Democrats. You'd have to be a Democrat to let them get away with it. Fewer cops and more guns equals more crime. I know it. You know it. Bob Dole knows it. The American people know it. But will the idiot Democrats remember to mention that when the bastards charge them with that phony issue?
So a few months ago, Khalil Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind behind 9/11.
Objection. Is there any evidence that he is the mastermind behind 9/11? I got a feeling he's the mastermind behind 9/11 because he's one of the two people, him and Saddam, it's like the only two people Bush has caught. So they're going to make this guy Mr. Evil. He planned 9/11. He killed Danny Pearl. He did everything. But we don't know that. That's a claim made by the lie administration. And, you know, recently they caught some guy and said, oh, this guy, he's the number one guy in Iraq. Well, hey, we need to have some rules here. If somebody's important, tell us up front. Give us the list now and say, this guy, that guy, and that guy, those are the three guys we're trying to catch. And then, like bin Laden, when the years go by and you can't catch them, that shows how useful you are, which is near zero. But what they do, if they capture anybody, all of a sudden they elevate, oh, he's the grand mastermind of everything. Well, funny we ain't never heard of him before.
Claim credit for killing Danny Pearl, the former American journalist, back in 2002. Danny's family doesn't believe that it's true. And with the help of Asra Nomani, another former Wall Street Journal journalist who was in the house in Pakistan when it happened, they're starting a project at Georgetown called the Pearl Project to try to get to the bottom of actually who killed Danny Pearl.
Excellent. I don't know if you've been reading. You know Michael Vick is the Atlanta Falcons quarterback. It turns out he also is involved in the sport of dogfighting. He calls it a sport. Oh, I'd like to cover him in liver and let the dog see if he's as fast and elusive as they say he is. My guess is no. Pit bulls are very nice dogs. And I have to say, Michael Vick, you know, being a two-sport athlete, football and dogfighting, it's not really as impressive as the Bo Jackson thing. But let's get right to it, my friends. The Democrats, as their support for the war in Iraq has lessened, they've been portrayed by their rivals as soft on terror, cut and runners, traitors, pussies. Well, last night they decided enough was enough. One by one, the Democrats took to the Senate floor to send this powerful message.
We're saying to the other side of the aisle, let us vote.
Let us vote.
Let us vote.
What we'd also like to do is vote.
adding, Mom! That's how mad they are. Look at that font. Yeah, 24 point font, mad. You get something like that on your BlackBerry, you'd be like, yo, these guys are mad. They must really want to vote. Yesterday, Democratic senators made everybody stay after quorum for an all-night session to debate whether or not they would be allowed to vote on an amendment requiring the president to begin withdrawing at least some troops from Iraq within 120 days-ish. Oh, it's powerful stuff. And from the beginning, this procedural smackdown got pretty ugly.
Let me just say that I ask unanimous consent that the cloture vote scheduled for the morning occur at 5:30 this afternoon.
I object.
Holy f- mother f- my- No! That off-camera senator did not just object to unanimous consent on cloture. What is that guy on horse steroids? So angry. Oh yeah, ending this war is gonna require going to C-SPAN after dark.
C-SPAN after dark.
That's right, baby. Yo, really? No. Yeah. I've seen this without the clothes? No. To go all night, senators only need three things. Cots, pizza, and Ted Stevens, who's there to remind them that if they do fall asleep, he will hunt them down and kill them in their dreams. That's right. Settle down. You know it's true, Senator Stevens.
No!
Oh, so that's what that is. You know, Ted, may I call you Ted?
No!
I mean, really do anything with the no at that point. So why did this all-night session happen? Because while Democrats have a majority in the Senate, they don't have the 60-vote supermajority needed to bring bills like this to a vote, thus forcing the Democrats to stay up all night to prevent the Republicans from staging an all-night vote-blocking filibuster. You can see why we're fighting so hard to export this type of government to Iraq. Awesome.
Well, there you had it. Show number 122, probably. I'll tell you what, these shows are getting harder to do. I don't know if I'm getting more stupid as time goes by or what. But I would like to thank the subscribers. I'd like to thank you listeners. If you're a listener and you're not a subscriber, shame, shame, shame. I'd like to thank the people that drop the occasional check in the mail. It's the middle of July. It's the hot Oklahoma summer. But not to worry. There's a waterfall in our living room. Hope we get through that. Nothing more conducive to a radio show than having men with hammers inside your house. So I'm going to get to work on show number 123. Thanks for listening. Hope you like some of it. This is Bart. I'm gone.